Well, good evening to everyone. If you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 134. As you're turning, let me make a couple of announcements. Remember, the Lord willing, next Sunday, January the 10th, we'll be restarting our in-person services again at 10 a.m. on that Sunday morning. And I've heard from many of our folks who have tested positive, and they seem to all be doing pretty good, all things considered. With the exception of Gary Holback, Gary, Janie, their daughter Haley, and son-in-law Tim all tested positive. They're down in Nashville, and Gary is in ICU in Nashville, and he's pretty sick. So we want to remember them in prayer. This is a difficult time for them. All right, Psalm 134, just three short verses, but this is a blessed psalm. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, oh, how thankful we are that you are God alone, ruling and reigning over everything in your creation, that you're sovereign over all. And Father, how we thank you that you have seen fit to use your sovereign power to call out a people, to choose a people, to redeem a people, that you would stand as the surety, the guarantor of their salvation. Father, how thankful we are. Salvation could be sure no other way. And we're so thankful. How can we begin to thank you and praise you for your mercy and your grace to sinful men and women such as we are? And Father, I pray that this evening that you would enable us by your Spirit to worship you, to worship in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray that you'd cause your word to go forth in power, to bring glory to your matchless name, to reach the hearts of your people, to save and to comfort and strengthen your people. How we thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the good news of salvation for sinners in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Father, we're thankful for the many, many blessings, how freely you've bestowed so many blessings upon us, your people, and we're thankful. And Father, we ask a blessing for those that are in a time of great trial and difficulty, those who are suffering with this COVID virus and so many other sicknesses and heartaches. Father, we pray a special blessing for our brother Gary and his family, that at this time you'd undertake in their behalf to heal and strengthen. Be with your people in a special way, we pray. We pray for our country and for our world at this time, Father, that you would see fit. We know that you are able. We pray that you'd see fit to give us some relief from this virus, through whatever means you see fit, that you would give us some relief, that you'd let people go back to their daily lives and enable us to meet together again and worship you without having any thought of this problem. We pray for our country, pray for our leaders, Father, that you would give them wisdom, that you turn their heart for peace and good in this country, for the peaceful rest of your people. Enable us to continue to enjoy the freedoms we have in worshiping thee. Now, Father, again, bless us. Enable us to forget about all the goings-on of this life, and let us set our affection on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his name be exalted and magnified in everything that is said and done here tonight. And all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Brady's consented again to come and sing for us. I'm thankful. I'm sure you all enjoying that at home. And so, Brady, I thank you.
Be thou my vision. my heart not be all else to me, save that thou art, thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, oh bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, oh ruler of all.
That's so good, Brady. Thank you. That song ought to prepare our hearts to worship, shouldn't it? Alright, turn with me again, if you would, now to Psalm 134. Now, this is the last of the Psalms of Degrees. You remember these Psalms of Degrees are the Psalms that the travelers to Jerusalem would sing as they went up to Jerusalem on the, for the various feasts that they were required to attend. And each one of these Psalms of Degrees rises higher and higher in glory. Each individual Psalm of Degree, they typically begin at a very low point, and then they continue rising up all the way to glory. And many people say the Psalms of Degrees, each psalm rises in glory from psalm to psalm as well. This is the last of the Psalms of Degrees, so we must have reached the pinnacle of our journey. We've reached the highest point that we can travel here in our travels. And this psalm, the crowning psalm, the last psalm, the pinnacle of all these Psalms of Degrees, is all about blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord and worshiping the Lord. That's the highest point that we can ever hope to reach in this life. That's what we're striving for, to bless the Lord. The highest form of religion is to bless the Lord. And the word means to speak well of the Lord. It means to delight in Him. The highest form of religion that we can strive for is not to be divisive with people because we're so much more religious or so much more doctrinally straight than everybody else. You know, we just won't have any time for that if we're blessing the Lord. The highest form of religion that we can have is not to strive to point out what everybody else is doing wrong. The highest point of religion that we can hope to attain to is blessing the Lord. And that's what this psalm is all about. And I've titled the message tonight, How We Bless the Lord. And I have 4 points I want to give us on how we bless the Lord. First, I want us to see who it is that's to bless the Lord. Second, I want us to see when we are to bless the Lord. Third, where are we to bless the Lord? And fourth, I want us to see a specific way to bless the Lord that probably wouldn't come first to anybody's mind, but listed here in this psalm, the specific way to bless the Lord. Now first, who is to bless the Lord? Well, the answer to that question really is everyone. Every human being should bless the Lord. Nature blesses the Lord. Nature sings and blesses the Lord, sings the Lord's praises. So certainly all people in God's creation should bless the Lord. But the people who are best suited to bless the Lord, the people who will bless the Lord, it's every believer. Verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Now this was probably sung to the priests, sung to the Levites, whose work it was, the whole work of their life, was to bless the Lord. The Levites' entire life was taken up in the service of the Lord. Their whole life was spent in reading the word and offering the sacrifices and keeping the candlestick lit and keeping the coals on the brazen altar and on the altar of incense burning, to put incense upon the altar of incense, to change out the showbread every week. It was their whole job. And the priests had so many duties and jobs to do in the worship of the Lord, they could never finish all of them. As soon as they got one done, something else had to be done again. So they needed encouragement, didn't they, to continue to faithfully serve the Lord. So this was probably sung to the Levites. The people, maybe as they were entering the city or as they were leaving the city, they sang this to the Levites. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. But if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll show you that David here is speaking to every believer, because every believer has been made a priest to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Every believer is in the priesthood, a holy priesthood, not the earthly Levitical priesthood, but a holy priesthood, to offer up not animal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So David here is talking to every believer. He talks to the servants of the Lord. Every believer is a servant of the Lord. And we should be about the business of living our lives blessing the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said this, the Lord blesses you. Can any of you deny that? The Lord blesses you. Therefore, be zealous to bless him. Every believer is a servant of the Lord. We should be zealous to bless the Lord. Well, what is it to bless the Lord? Well, the word bless has several meanings. First, it means this. It means to kneel down. Now, we bless the Lord when we humbly kneel before the Lord and acknowledge that the Lord is our King. When we kneel before the Lord, we're acknowledging that the Lord is above us. That is, the Lord is the King who we serve. The Lord is the King who gives us everything that we have. If we're going to have any grace, if we're going to have any mercy, if we're going to have any peace, if we're going to have any love, God's going to have to give it to us from above, isn't he? And kneeling before the Lord, it's not just kneeling down on our knees, you know, before everybody else. Kneeling before the Lord with a bowed heart, a humble attitude, that shows the right relationship between God and us. God is high and lifted up, and we're poor sinners in the dust who are totally dependent upon him. And when we bow humbly before him, that's blessing the Lord, acknowledging who he is and who we are, how desperately we depend upon him. And second, this word bless means to praise and to congratulate. Now, believers, the servants of God, they bless the Lord by congratulating the Lord. Now, the priests of old, they offered animal sacrifices, didn't they? Well, believers today, we don't offer animal sacrifices, but we bless the Lord by congratulating the Lord on his one sacrifice for sin that took away all the sin of all of God's people. We bless the Lord by congratulating Him on a job well done. When in our preaching, this is what we preach. There's just one sacrifice for sin. That's all we need, is the sacrifice of Christ to cleanse us and to make us whole. Now that's what we say. That's what we preach. When we preach that, we're blessing the Lord. And I live blessing the Lord by living, not trying to do anything to help the Lord put my sin away, to not make myself more savable. I live blessing the Lord by living depending on Christ to put my sin away, because this is what I believe in my heart. Christ is enough. See, that I say so, I bless the Lord by saying so in my doctrine, in my prayers, and in my preaching, by telling others Christ is all you need. And then I live blessing the Lord by not trying to establish my own righteousness, but resting in Christ and trusting in Christ. Then the priest of old, they kept the candlestick in the temple lit, didn't they? Well, we don't have that candlestick today. Christ is our light. But believers today bless the Lord by praising the Lord, congratulating the Lord by saying that Christ is the light of the world. I see in the light of Christ. I see how it is God can save a sinner like me and still be God, because God has enabled me to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I never see any spiritual truth. I don't understand any spiritual truth until I see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see everything else in the light of who Christ is. So that's what I say. That's what I preach. Christ is our light. You can't see any spiritual truth. You can't see how God could save you. You can't see how God would keep you until you see everything in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I live blessing the Lord by living with Christ being my light, with Christ being my wisdom, and not living or depending upon my own natural understanding. So bless the Lord. Bless the Lord because He made you to know Him. Bless the Lord for enabling you to bless Him. Bless the Lord for accepting your worship and your praise. Bless the Lord for making you accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord by living in dependence upon Him. And every believer is a servant of God. So every believer is to bless the Lord this way. Not just preachers, but all of us. And let's sing this, let's repeat this to each other. To each other. We're all servants of God. Let's tell each other, behold. Now look, remember this. Don't quit this. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye His servants. Don't quit now. Don't quit. Keep blessing the Lord. Let's encourage one another that way. Just like those priests, those Levites whose job was never, ever done. You could see how they needed some encouragement, couldn't you? You know what? Your brothers and sisters need encouragement from time to time too. And really, when we say time to time, that makes it sound like they don't need it very often. 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 Your brothers and sisters need some encouragement. So encourage them by telling them, behold, bless ye the Lord, all His servants. That's who is to bless the Lord, all His servants. All right, second. When are we to bless the Lord? Verse 1 says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now we're to bless the Lord, you already know this, at all times, in every situation. We're to bless the Lord for everything that the Lord is and everything that He has done. We're to bless the Lord. But here specifically, travelers are encouraging the priests and the Levites to bless the Lord by night. Now the priests served in the temple 24 hours a day. Some of them drew the graveyard shift. And, you know, if you've ever worked a graveyard shift, working at night, all night long, is just hard on you. It's hard to stay awake. It's hard to keep your focus. It's hard to keep your energy up and do the work that you're supposed to be doing. And these travelers are encouraging the Lord, or encouraging the priest to continue serving the Lord. They're encouraging them, keep all those coals upon the altar hot. Don't let the fire underneath the sacrifice go out, because we need that burnt offering to be offered for our sin. They're encouraging the priest, don't let the fire and the candlestick go out, because we need that light. We need that light to be able to see spiritual truth. We need that light to be able to see, to worship God aright. They're encouraging the priest. Don't get drowsy. Don't slack off because you're sleepy on the job, you know, because God's going to accept the whole nation through the ceremony that those priests are doing as a picture of Christ. So I tell every believer, behold, all of you now, pay attention. All of God's people, pay attention and bless the Lord at all times. There's never a time that the Lord's not to be worshipped and not to be praised. Bless the Lord in the daylight. In the daylight, when everybody can see what you're doing, bless the Lord. Join in the public worship service and bless the Lord. And also, bless the Lord in the daylight in this sense. When the Lord's given you light, when he's given you peace, you know, people just aren't comfortable being in the dark, you know, when they can't see what's going on around them. You know, part of this of light means the blessing of the Lord. The Lord's made you comfortable. You can see. At those times when the Lord's blessed you with light, bless the Lord. Thank the Lord. Worship the Lord. But David here especially mentions the night. Bless the Lord by night. Now, I looked that word up. It means just exactly what you think it means. It means night, nighttime when it's dark. But it also means gloom, gloom. Bless the Lord in your heart. When it's dark, nobody's watching, nobody can see you, bless the Lord. Because you know, blessing the Lord comes from the heart. Whether we're in a big crowd in public worship, or whether we're all alone in the dark and nobody can see us, worship comes from the heart. Bless the Lord from the heart. Bless the Lord in the gloom. In the gloom, when it's cold and it's dark and you're all alone. Bless the Lord in the gloom, when you just can't see real well. You can't see what the Lord's doing. You can't tell what the Lord's doing or why the Lord's doing it. It's gloomy. Still bless the Lord. Bless the Lord in the gloom of despair, in the gloom of disappointment, in the gloom of depression, and in the gloom of fear. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord when you have reason to laugh. And bless the Lord when you have reason to weep. Bless the Lord for who he is. God is to be blessed. He's to be praised. He's to be worshipped because of who he is, his nature, his character is God. He's to be blessed for his salvation that he's provided for sinners. Not just because of any physical or material blessings that he gives me, but for who God is. Now that's what we should do. And my suspicion is, none of you here, none of you watching at home would disagree with that. Would you disagree that we're to bless the Lord at all times? Even in those times of darkness and gloom, we're to bless the Lord. You wouldn't disagree with that, would you? Well, let me ask you this. How well are you doing? How well do you do with that in worshiping God, blessing God, blessing his holy, matchless name in the gloom? Not as well as we'd like. That's the answer. Well, I've got something to comfort your heart. Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, every believer is a priest. Every believer is a servant of God. But there's a great high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Aren't you thankful he was faithful to bless the Lord by night? He blessed the Lord all through his earthly ministry in the light when everybody could see him. This was a public ministry. This thing wasn't done in a corner. Everybody saw and knew what he was doing. But then came 3 hours of great darkness upon the cross when there was darkness over all the earth. And at that time, I mean, that's when business was taking place between the Father and the Son, between the Father and the sacrifice. And at that night, those dark, dark hours, Christ our Savior, he didn't get drowsy. He didn't get lazy and fall down on the job. In those 3 hours upon the cross, Christ our Savior, Christ our substitute, Christ our sacrifice was faithful in every season, even by night. Now God's people, we stand. David says here, by those who by night stand in the house of the Lord, He said, you bless the Lord. Well, how is it that we stand? How is it we stand in Christ? The house of the Lord, the tabernacle of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, was made flesh, and tabernacled among us. We stand in Christ. We stand in Christ because the Father put us in Christ. We stand because Christ is our righteousness. That's the only reason we stand in Christ, isn't it? So when the Lord calls us into the gloom, let's pray that the Lord will enable us to be faithful and to bless His holy name in the gloom. Two reasons for that. Number one, He's worthy. He ought to be blessed. And number two, you know, it could be some of God's other servants will be blessed by it, by God's servants blessing Him in the gloom. That's when we're to bless Him, at all times, but especially in those night seasons. All right, third, I want us to see this. Where we bless the Lord. Verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, we think of blessing the Lord in the sanctuary. Our mind naturally, first place it naturally goes to, is in public worship, the sanctuary. And that's good. You know, we almost can't overemphasize the importance of public worship. You know, the example that I use of the blessing, the necessity of public worship. I spent this past summer, 3 different weeks in the hospital. I learned about the goings-on of the hospital, learned about a lot of things. I learned about the food service, the food they bring in the hospital. And the example that I use of what we're doing right now, listening to the gospel via, you know, the videos and electronically, I compare that to hospital food. That hospital food, that kept me alive. Hospital food, you know, a lot of times it gets a bad name. Most of it tasted pretty good. Not much of it was gross. Some of it was, but not much of it. And this means that the Lord's given us, especially right now, that we can put these messages out electronically and you watch them from the comfort of your home when it's not safe for us to come out, you know, to the public worship, or maybe people's health makes it impossible, you know, for them to do that. I am very thankful for this means God's given us electronically to put these things out. I'll go home, I'll copy this message onto just a little old flash drive, just about that big, put it in this thing called a Dropbox. I have no idea how this works. Dan Morgan picks it up, and I mean just in hours, it's up on Sermon Audio. It's just the most amazing thing ever was. I'm thankful for it. Oh, I'm so thankful. But I'm telling you, it's like hospital food. For 3 months this summer, I was unable to come to a public worship service. And I watched a lot of preaching on the television, on my phone, and different things. And it was good. I got a blessing from it. I remember the first time I had come to a public worship service after that 3 months. Came there on Thursday night. And Brother Todd Neibert was preaching. And it was like I'd never heard the gospel before. It just was such a blessing to me. And this is why I thought, being in that public worship service with other believers, my brethren, with that preacher looking me in the eye and preaching the gospel to me, it was like eating good home cooking. I mean, it was like comparing hospital food to Janet's home cooking. I mean, it just better. Her Janet's home cooking tastes better. It's made with love. It's made with care. It's just totally different. And blessing the Lord in the public worship service, that certainly applies to what David's saying here. It's a blessing, and it's important. But I tell you, most importantly, what David's talking about here, it's worshiping God in the sanctuary, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word sanctuary he uses here means holiness. It means set apartness. It means something that's consecrated and dedicated. This room, there's very few of us in this room tonight. This room is not a sanctuary in that sense, in the sense that it's holy or it's consecrated. It's a room set apart for public worship, but there's nothing inherently holy about this room or about this building. The sanctuary, where there is holiness, the sanctuary that has been set apart and consecrated by the Father, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father appointed, He consecrated, He set apart his son to be the savior of his people, to be the holiness of his people, to be the righteousness of his people. So God can only be worshiped in the sanctuary, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God can only be worshiped and blessed in Christ. See, we bless God because God has blessed us. Now, where has he blessed us? With all spiritual blessings. In Christ, hasn't he? And that's what the psalmist means here when he talks about lifting up your hands in prayer. Now, we don't do that. And I've been studying for the message on Sunday, and this matter of lifting up your hands is in the message Sunday, too. You know, we don't do that. People do it. This is why we don't do it, because people, you see them on TV and stuff they do, and they're just doing it to make a big show of themselves. And I wouldn't care if somebody did that, if it was a spontaneous thing, really, in the spirit. But the reason that they did this, the lifting up of the hands, there was a reason behind it. It's a gesture. It's an outward sign, a symbol of humility. Lifting up the hands in prayer is a sign of inward humility. It shows that we must humbly receive a blessing from above. We got to receive it. We can't earn it. We got to receive it from God. The only way we can receive a blessing from God, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his righteousness, the only way we can receive that is from the Lord Jesus Christ from above. Every blessing of God, every blessing that God has for a sinner comes to us through and by and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God can only be blessed. He can only be worshiped in Christ. God's not worshiped just by having the right form or the ceremony of religion. God is worshiped when we bless, when we congratulate, when we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. God is blessed. He's worshiped when we trust Christ alone. We trust his righteousness alone, his sacrifice alone. God is worshiped and we congratulate the righteousness of Christ. Now, how is it that you can congratulate, that you can praise the righteousness of Christ? By saying this, I don't want any other. I don't have to add to Christ's righteousness to make myself righteous. I say with David, I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, because it's the only righteousness that I want. The same thing is true with the sacrifice of Christ. How is it that you can congratulate the sacrifice of Christ? It's by saying, it's the only sacrifice I want. It's the only sacrifice that I need. Because the sacrifice of the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ is all I need to put my sin away. And I don't have to contribute anything to that to pay my sin debt. Christ is all I need. That's how God is worshipped. He's blessed when we say Christ is all that I need. God is worshipped. He's blessed when we bow before Christ our King. Christ is the sovereign Savior. And we lift up our hands in complete dependence upon him. You and I are completely dependent on the sovereign grace of God. Now we can and we should not just outwardly, but, you know, in our hearts, lift up our hands to God, showing we're completely dependent upon him to give us grace. We can and we should beg God for his mercy and for his grace. But you just remember this. God's grace is sovereign grace because he's sovereign. God does not have to be gracious to me. God didn't owe his mercy to me. God didn't owe it to me to forgive me of my sin. So I'm begging God for mercy. I'm begging him for forgiveness. I'm begging him for grace. And I live completely dependent upon Christ. Now this is what I want for me personally. I'll just tell you, this is what's in my heart, what I desire for me personally. I want to be obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be obsessed with him so that I don't waste my time anywhere else. I don't want to waste my time on any other subject. I don't want to waste my time looking to and depending on anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want for me personally. And that's what I want for you too. I want to only preach Christ to you so that by God's grace, you and I both become obsessed with Christ. I want this place, Hurricane Rogue Grace Church to be a place of public worship. The true worship of God in spirit and in truth. And the one and only way that that's possible is if all of us are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. That we won't allow ourselves to be taken off on a tangent about anything else. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a right thing. Maybe it's the way that people really ought to act and really ought to live and something that's really true. Satan's probably not going to pull you off on just a complete and utter lie. I want us to be so obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ that even when something like that comes up, a matter of law, a matter of order of service or whatever it might be, that we just don't get our attention taken off on that because Christ is what I need. Christ is what I must have. There's a lots of true things that I could tell you. But Christ is the only thing, the only one that'll help your soul. And I want to preach Christ so we are just obsessed with Him. Because anything else, putting our attention on anything else, is harmless to our souls. I want that for me. I want that for this congregation. And I want that for this community that lives around us. I want this community that lives around us to be blessed through the preaching of the gospel. You know, God is pleased to save His people. Well, verse 3 says it. We'll get to this in a minute. Out of Zion. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. Zion is the church. God blesses His people through the preaching that comes out of Zion, that comes out of the church. And this is what I know. Nobody's going to be saved. None of God's sheep are going to be comforted. None of God's sheep are going to be blessed. None of God's sheep are going to grow in grace unless we as a congregation preach Christ alone. If we allow ourselves to be taken off on any other tangent and focus on Christ plus something else or just something else for a little while, nobody's going to be saved. Nobody's going to be blessed. Nobody's going to be comforted. Nobody's going to grow. The only way, the one and only way that we can bless God and worship God is in the Lord Jesus Christ by preaching and trusting Christ and Christ alone. That is where we are to bless the Lord. And then here's the fourth thing. Here's a specific way to bless the Lord. Look at verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Now this is the closing stanza in all of the Psalms of Degrees. Not just this one, but this is the last verse in all of the Psalms of Degrees. Here is the closing stanza. It closes with a prayer for others, saying, the Lord bless thee. Now, would you like to be able to bless the Lord? If you're a believer, I know you would. You want to be able to bless the Lord. Well, you know what the Lord tells us? Then pray for others. Don't just pray for yourself. Don't just pray the Lord give you the Spirit to bless Him. If you would bless the Lord, pray for others. Pray that the Lord bless others. I have there's an example of this. A very dear pastor friend of mine told me this a few months ago. He said, I used to get up in the morning, go to my study. He said, I'd begin in prayer. He said, I'd always pray, Lord, give me wisdom. He said, I've done that for years. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. And he said, then I realized nothing could be more selfish than that. He said, now I pray, Lord, give all of us wisdom. Give everybody in the congregation wisdom. Give us the wisdom to focus on Christ alone, to trust Christ alone, to preach Christ alone. Give us the wisdom to protect the unity that we have here. That's blessing the Lord. Praying that the Lord bless others. You know, it is a blessing to ask the Lord to bless others. Because only the Lord can bless them. And you and I would be more blessed if we'd spend more time asking the Lord to bless others and less time asking the Lord to bless us. That's so. This is the way that we can serve God's people. What better way can you think of than asking the Lord to bless them? What better thing can you do for somebody than ask that the Lord bless them? And David specifically says this, we pray that the Lord who made heaven and earth bless thee, the Creator. Now you read through the Old Testament, and God is frequently described as the Creator, the God who made heaven and earth. You know, that's a mighty good reason to pray to the Lord, isn't it? He's the creator. He's the creator. The one who created everything has the power to bless his people with any material blessing that we might need. Because every material thing is his. If he created it, it's all his. It's his to give, it's his to withhold. The creator is the one who can bless us materially. And much more importantly, the one who created everything has the power to bless us spiritually. The one who spoke this world into existence has, by that same power, the ability to speak and to create in us a new creation, to give us the new birth, to give us every spiritual blessing. Now that's a specific way that we can bless the Lord, is by praying and asking the Lord to bless others. Isn't that a good psalm? That's a good way to end these psalms of degrees. What a pinnacle that God has brought us to be able to bless his holy name. And I hope the Lord will enable us to do that. All right. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for this blessed portion of your word that you have allowed us to look into this evening. And Father, I pray you'd give us a heart that would bless thee, worship thee in awe and wonder. And Father, give us a heart that would truly pray for one another, that we not just pray for one another because that's what you've told us, you know, we have to do. But Father, give us a heart that would truly pray for one another and say, the Lord God, who created heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Father, I pray you'd bless your word as it's gone forth. Bless it to your glory. Enable your people that you would enable to hear this message to see the glory of Christ our Savior. Use it to comfort and strengthen our hearts. For it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, till next time, I pray, Lord, bless you and keep you, and just remember that the Lord willing, on Sunday the 10th, 10 a.m., we'll begin our in-person services again.